Being a longtime renter, I'm a huge fan of this new platform from Mach 2 Property Solutions. Mach 2's mission is to add value to the lives of their residents in a way that no other property management company has done before. Using their online management system, they're able to provide clients with a simple, convenient, and stress-free experience. And as a landlord, the online owner portal streamlines communication, protects your investment, and helps you maximize the value of your properties. So do yourself a favor. Make your life easier as a tenant or landlord and visit Mach2Properties.com or email info@Mach2Properties.com. We all know that South Boston has become a hotspot for buyers and sellers. As one of the top producing teams in the Boston area, Aronson & Associates have sold over $400 million of real estate in Greater Boston. With their strong local network and knowledge of the Boston market, Aronson & Associates have positioned themselves to be one of Boston's strongest teams in real estate. For more information, visit aronsonre.com or email aa@compass.com.
Hey, Al, you ready?
Well, we've got an especially dirty hippie here down on the court trying to sink an impossible shot.
This is human drama at its best. Just focusing, taking a moment to concentrate. That's okay. Concentrate all you want.
Let's do it.
Coach
Yellow.
So we have a special guest today, back from the grave. Well, first off, it's Memorial Day weekend. Before we get into the guest,
Memorial Day weekend.
MDW, as we call it, hashtag MDW.
Probably one of the worst MDWs to date. Nothing to look at this year, other than some clouds. And you know, as we've mentioned, Brendan lives off of Wollaston Beach, and for the second time here, I've almost been blown over. Because the wind coming off the water is pretty vicious over here.
A couple of things are going on today. We have, we have a dog kennel at my house.
Yes.
If you take a look at the artwork on our logo, you'll see my Frenchie and you'll see Coach's hot dog.
Yep. You better believe it.
And we also have, our guests. He also brought in his canine.
Dog as well. Special guest.
I know.
Undertaker gif coming out of the casket back from the dead.
Yep.
He's asked to change his name to Contributor Paul. Welcome back to the pod.
Welcome back, Paul.
Happy to be here. Thanks for letting me in the room.
Welcome back.
Nice to have you back in the fold.
He's really embarrassed right now.
It's been some time.
And we'll let Paul talk. We'll let Paul defend himself as to why he hasn't been here. And he has some legitimate reasons for sure that he probably
won't be able to
share.
He's had some bachelor parties as well, like I have. He's had some different things. Work.
Yep, he has. He has for sure. But he's also, he's taken it upon himself to, he has two full-time jobs now.
Correct.
So he has his full-time job, which we don't need to mention where he works.
Great job, great gig. But his second full-time job,
he's become a full-time promoter of his dog's Instagram account, which is, I think, the primary reason as to why he hasn't been on our podcast
for the last month. Correct. If you were to follow, what is the at? What's the handle? what's the handle? Contributor Paul at Boogity Bogue. What is it?
He's acting like he doesn't know. He's like, I gotta check.
He lies like a rug.
So, Coach, can you do me a favor? Do you follow Bogues?
I don't know if I do. I bet.
Handsome
dog.
Amelia does. Handsome
dog. Yeah, great looking
that
pup.
That boy Bogey.
Dat boy. D-A-T. I wish it was Dat.
1,161 followers.
I'm 29 years old. I'm a human. And I post every once in a while. I post some good content. I have 940 followers.
So that's a good question. And this is something that is a concern for me as of right now. It's a couple of concerns. One, we need to get Paul back on track.
Two, I'd like to mention this.
1,100 friends, I'm sorry. Those 1,100 friends are how many of them would you guess by doing a quick scroll are human beings?
Because
that's also going to be a concern of me.
Right
like
now. That
we follow Bogey because, again... That you know, we're bogey. Contributors of Paul's life. We're huge fans of Paul.
So I'm just a quick scroll here.
Yeah.
Just a quick scroll.
Yeah.
I've seen two humans. So the rest are dog accounts.
Yeah.
And the only other one that I see for humans
yeah.
are you
right,
and contributor Paul.
Right.
Those are the only two humans I've seen so far. So the rest are dogs. Milan the Cavalier, Finnegan the Cav, Miss Lily the Cav, Scooter Flavel, Roman Bush 6. Yeah, and it just continues to go.
The list goes on. So,
yep. I have to mention this. So, obviously, my dog Amelia also has an Instagram account. And my wife takes it fairly seriously. Like, we get, like, free stuff from it. Like, we're, like, Amelia's, like, kind of like a sponsored dog for, I don't know, some Etsy lady. And she only, and again, she posts, Amelia posts every day. So
Amelia posts.
Amelia actually puts her paws on the phone and snaps photos.
How
it's
we
amazing.
Talk about this is a banana land.
Isn't that banana land?
Amelia posts every day.
Amelia posts every day. Yeah, banana land. She only has 382 followers. So it makes you think that's
is
why
Paul is Paul paying for followers? For
is Paul paying for followers?
That's
is
one.
Paul a low key influencer?
Yes.
Or is contributor Paul legitimately, is this actually his first full-time gig and his other job is like just off to the side?
Yeah.
It
makes you think. And by the way, Paul had no idea we were going to be in full attack mode this morning. He walked in.
He got ambushed.
He was excited to be back.
Yeah.
He was like, what are we going to talk about? Me and Ryan already talked about this yesterday, so we knew exactly what we were going to talk about.
So he literally, as you walked outside before we started recording, he goes, oh, I see dogs of Instagram on the podcast topics. And he goes, Bogey has an Instagram. Okay, Amelia does too. I go, yeah, we're probably just going to chirp some people. Little did he know.
Don't get me wrong either.
We were going to be all over his ass.
When we got Ollie, we created an Instagram for him as well, and I'm going to try to pull this up.
You got to make him pay the rent, right?
You know, so here's the thing. Everyone who has a dog, and I love dogs, huge dog person.
Yeah, huge dog.
Everyone who has a dog knows that when you get a dog, your photo album immediately turns into a dog album on your phone, right? Just like
it's the only photos
pictures and pictures for days of dogs.
Yep. It's a fascinating world. So my best friend, Tommy, his mom is like a semi-professional photographer, like takes like great photos, has like a really nice camera, and they have a dog. If you look her up, her Instagram is Luna the Porty. She's a Portuguese water dog, beautiful dog, and she has no lie, probably over 10,000 followers, at least, like crazy stuff, and she gets like paid ads.
It makes me think, too, and I want to get into the topic of South Boston for this specific weekend.
Sure.
I would take Ollie for a walk in Southie, and people will literally, like, get on all fours to say hello to him. Like, girls will drop their handbags. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, Taylor would literally ghost ride the whip if she saw another Frenchie. So I'm not just speaking on like
right, other girls. Like, this is firsthand experience here.
But then you could be walking down the street with a newborn infant and, you know, then
people spit at it.
Yeah. Like it doesn't even exist.
It's funny you say that. Last time I was here, I had Amelia and I went like after we left, I just had her walk up and down the street to go to the bathroom before getting in the car.
Took 45 minutes.
Oh, yeah. It's brutal. She walks so freaking slow, but like three or four people walk by. And the thing is with Amelia, because she's so small, like people don't get down on all fours. They'll just scoop her up.
Yeah.
And I'm just standing there. I'm like, no. This is my dog. No, you can't just scoop her up. And I mean, she's like wiggling like a worm to get out of these people's arms. And they're like, oh my God, she's so cute. I'm like, yeah, great dog. Can you put her back down?
Yeah.
Before she shits on your chest?
Yeah.
Like, I hope she does. They just scoop her right up, and they just hold her. It's freaking bananas. It's bananas.
Dog etiquette. So it's Memorial Day weekend, and typical Memorial Day weekends are going to the Cape, go to New Hampshire, go to Newport.
Yeah, anywhere where there's water.
Yep. Anywhere in the world but your home.
Correct.
But unfortunately, because of the weather, and you know, basically hurricane force winds the last 2 days.
Legitimately.
Which is something I want to talk about, okay? So people are now vacationing to a place that I grew up. People are vacationing to South Boston.
Yeah.
Memorial Day weekend.
Hey, where are you going this weekend?
I'm going to rent a hotel.
I'm going to South.
And I'm
going to
go stand in line for an hour.
9 a.m.
There was, I swear to God, I woke up yesterday. It had to be 9:30 in the morning, and I go on Instagram. I scroll. I get to stats, the bar stats.
Sure.
I get to stats Instagram account, and there's a line down the block to get into stats.
And it's a month. There's a monsoon.
Before they even opened.
There's a nor'easter outside.
People are outside with raincoats and umbrellas.
Yeah.
Okay?
I think they posted later in the day.
Those people need to be tagged in that photo, and that needs to be public humiliation day.
I agree.
There's absolutely no fucking reason, absolutely no reason you should ever, ever be waiting in line to get into a bar while it's raining outside. Go home, watch a movie, call it a wash, wait for next year, right? Wait for next year, okay? And I'm not, again, yes, I am too old. And I hope one of my friends hears this because he needs to hear this. I am too old to be in the bars of South Boston. I'll totally admit this, okay? But here's the thing. Like, I'm so happy. I can't express how happy I am that we're back to normal.
I was about to say, for our listeners outside of Massachusetts, we are officially back in business.
Yeah, baby. We just took our masks off in this podcast room for the first time.
We are back, Jack.
But in all honesty, I'm so happy. Very happy that everything's opened back up.
Yeah. It's like psyched for the restaurants, psyched for the bars that survived it, psyched for the small businesses. Like, they're going to start making money hand over fist, the people who can survive, which is awesome.
Can't wait to get back in the movie theater.
Yeah.
Can't wait to have some sort of normalcy again, right? Right. But let's also make sure that we're being normal human beings. Okay?
That's right.
Like, here's my thing. Wait for the weather to clear up.
Yeah. Just not 9 a.m.
Not 9 a.m.
1 p.m., I get it. Hey, you go to
open
lunch.
Table. Go to lunch.
Grab lunch.
Yeah.
You don't need to be at the bar at 9 a.m.
No, because what's your plan? How does this work? What's your plan? Right. So you're there at 9:30, 10 a.m., right? Yep.
Waiting in line in a monsoon.
Yeah, so you get in there and you're like, you're a wet dog at this point.
Right. You're a wet dog. Your jacket is getting everybody else wet. You're trying to shake out the umbrella.
And that's the other thing, too. It's like, yeah,
I've never been an umbrella guy personally.
But it makes, again, it brings back to the point of why are you, and again, I get it. The weather stinks. And I'm not trying to like take business away from like these bars because I want them to be flooded with people.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
That's not the point. It's just like, in what world, even pre-COVID, what world, why are you waiting to get into a bar when again, I went outside yesterday, took Ollie out for 10 seconds for him to go to the bathroom. Yeah. I sprinted back. He and I both sprinted back inside because we were getting blown over, like you said.
Yeah.
Before we recorded this, same thing.
Amelia was about to blow away.
And I walked back in. I was like, I'm like, people are standing outside to get into a bar to do what?
Crazy. And like, same thing. So I'm related to a bartender who also one of the like the big, you know, the big name bars in Southie. And he's like one of the head bartenders, does like Friday, Saturday nights. And he's like, I'm done after this year. He's like, I am fucking good. I'm sick of dealing with these people. Like, I am all set. He's like, I'll find something else to do. I am good. Maybe I'll pick up like a Wednesday afternoon shift. He's like, I'm just like, I'm all set.
Yeah.
I am all set.
While we're on this topic of salty bars, did you see that Barstool post where Luca was fighting Luca and then Luca broke it up?
So the video Brendan is referring to is after the Mavs beat the Clippers the other day, which that can be a whole nother conversation on the Clippers, but there are three adult men, 35 plus years old, who are all wearing Luka Doncic jerseys. So one guy in a Luka jersey goes to attack another guy in a Luka jersey, and some other guy who comes out of like the cheap seats comes flying down in a Luka jersey. Hence the Luka fighting Luka and Luka breaking up the Luka fight.
What bar? Here's my question, I guess. And I hope people don't get too offended when I say this because I was an avid jersey wearer. At what point are you done wearing another male's jersey as an adult? So again, I used to love jerseys. I old school ones. I had the Vince Carter one. Yeah. I had I had a Carmelo Anthony jersey. I think I had a Jason Kidd one. You used to love that stuff. Most of the time, you remember you growing up, you have like those times in your life where you're like, man, like what the fuck was I wearing?
Sure.
There was definite
stint. Yeah, today.
Huge stint.
Yeah, yesterday.
Yeah.
every time I see you, you're like, what the fuck, dude? Sorry.
But there was a stint in our lives where jerseys were like the thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like people, like I have buddies, again, grew up in Celtic that were hockey players and stuff that like would wear a sick NBA jersey to match the rest of their outfit. Sneakers, yeah, the hat,
the whole thing.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So those were like in at one point.
Yep.
I think it gets to a certain point though when you grow up.
Mm-hmm.
That I think for me it was probably, I think I was probably like 18. I didn't want to say I was in college. I was still wearing them in college for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It was maybe a freshman or a sophomore because I remember I saw a picture the other day. I was wearing a Larry Bird authentic USA jersey.
Oh, the number 7?
What did he wear? I want to say 9. Yep.
No, 9 was
7.
Jordan.
7.
Yeah,
right
9
there.
Was Jordan.
But anyways, I was matching it with like a Washington Nationals hat or something.
Yeah, the red, white, and blue.
Red, white, and blue.
Yeah.
But when I'm seeing like these...
What a fit.
I know. Thank you.
Legit fit.
So, but I look at this video and it makes me think of like Luka Doncic, for example. Those guys in that video, they're in their 40s, it looked like, at least.
And those are new uniforms. Those are new jerseys. Yeah, these guys were of legal drinking age when they were born. These guys were legal drinking age when those players were born.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've owned two jerseys in my life. My favorite NFL player when we were growing up, Clinton Portis. It was a Denver Broncos jersey, so it was that fire blue and orange that they had.
Most random favorite. NFL
I absolutely
player.
Love that guy. I don't even know why. Oh, you know why? Because I loved you, Miami. But I love Clinton Portis because I loved you, Miami. Like everybody liked them, and he was played there. So I had that jersey. He was what happened to me all the time, though. Actually, it was just his jersey, but. As soon as I got it, it was like a Christmas gift. I got that with a signed helmet of his, which is pretty sick. As soon as I got it, he got traded to the Redskins. So everyone's like, oh, man, that's a bummer. I go, what are you talking about? This is just a vintage jersey now. This is an old school jersey, which the old school jerseys everyone likes more than the ones that you're wearing now. Right? Like if those guys were wearing the Luka Green Mavericks jerseys, I think we'd be a little okay with it. I think we'd be better off with it. Now, I own one jersey now, and I only wear it.
Oh, Jesus Christ!
Now, I only wear it inside my own home or at a friend's house watching a Patriots game. It is the true number 11 from the New England Patriots, red, white, and Drew Bledsoe.
I'm not again. Here's my thing: people are gonna. Get
I will not
upset.
Wear it out to a game. Yeah. I will not wear it out to a public setting. But if I'm like here
Dr.
with you,
Seuss?
Yeah, yeah. I will not wear it out, but I would wear it if you were hosting people to watch the game. I would wear it here.
Yeah. No, and here's the thing. There's going to be so many.
I think like hockey, the sweaters, you know, the jersey, they call them sweaters, like a football jersey because it's like a short sleeve. I think those play better than a basketball uniform because it's the sleeveless. Thoughts?
My thought is, and this is in order of what if it's appropriate as an adult to wear jerseys, and I could be wrong. This is the order of the sport I would go in.
Okay.
I go basketball first,
yep.
Even though I'm talking shit about it.
Wow, okay. I wasn't expecting that answer.
No, basketball first, 100%. I'll explain why. And then I would say hockey, then football, then baseball. And here's my reasoning.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen anyone rocking a Red Sox like jersey.
I have an absolutely sick Roger Clemens University of Texas baseball jersey.
I haven't
worn it in years, but. Now I might have to.
So
I just thought of it. I'm like, wow,
again,
that's in my closet at my parents' house.
Basketball
Amazing.
Jerseys. Amazing. Here's what I would wear a basketball jersey to right now.
Yeah.
The beach.
Okay.
A country concert. But I would wear stuff like that. I think those are like, that's where
that.
You pull them out.
I agree. Now.
The football.
Does that include like a like a reversible practice jersey. Are you considering that within the basketball? Like, it doesn't have to be like a Larry Bird jersey, but it's like, hey, this is like, you know, not that you would, like your Framingham State practice jersey.
That's a thing. That's a big beach.
That's a big beach thing.
Yeah. It's a humble brag. It's a humble brag when you do that. That's letting everyone on the beach know that you were once an athlete.
You once played.
Yeah.
Well, I need it because if you look at me, that everyone's like, you must have majored in accounting.
Yeah, so you want people to know, like, yeah, I'm not like, an accountant. I once played basketball.
No, I once played hoops.
The football thing is, football jerseys were meant to have pads on.
They're heavy.
So, and like, you know, in today's world, we want things that are a little bit more fitted to the arms.
Just you.
So, well. Just me?
Well, you know me.
Yeah.
You know me.
Coach lives in comfort.
Lives in comfort.
Double XL and above.
Anything that he can go to sleep in
and then put over his car. So.
One time XL. I just want
to. So, and then, so my thing is that if it's meant to have football pads on and they don't change the look of that jersey, well, then when you put it on without the pads, you know, you're going to look like the guys look. And again, we're not football players, right? We're not built like these guys. So these guys go on the podium during like Super Bowl week and they got the jerseys on without their pads and they're going to look far more normal than we would.
Well, yeah, no question.
So when we have them on, you know, it's going to look like a jersey dress.
All right. Okay. I'm in agreement with that.
And then the baseball thing, I don't really see it too often. The hockey thing, I see more people rocking that shit. So you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think you only see the baseball if like you're in or around Fenway, at least for us, you know, Boston people. Like if you're in or around Fenway, people have like, a lot of people had like Big Poppy Ortiz jerseys for a long time. I guess Bogarts right now would be a big guy to buy a uniform for, maybe Devers and like a few of those guys. But I've never seen like a guy like at like a local bar like just rocking a Sox uniform. Like it just, I think if you're going to the Fenway.
Well, I was gonna say, if you go in Fenway and you go into one of those bars, you see a lot of them. Oh yeah, there's gonna be a huge roster.
Right.
Big roster that day for the Sox.
Yeah. What I was alluding to earlier in the pod, and you know, we had just gotten back to the Dogs of Instagram thing with everything opening up, and the biggest thing that I saw, you know, everyone kind of shoots out the Instagram post of like what Charlie Baker says, and it lists like, all right, we are now open, you know, restaurants, bars, ball pits. And the biggest thing that I saw was saunas and steam rooms. Now, you guys all know I'm not a huge workout guy, but let me tell you something. I paid for a gym membership strictly to use a steam room, and I'm so excited to be able to get back in there. Now that they're open finally again, because I haven't been able to use one in over like a year and a half or whatever it was.
You're a steam guy.
Yeah. Oh, huge steam guy. Yeah. So I'll sit in there for like 40 minutes. But, you know, the biggest reason I'm happy about it is obviously it's open so I can get back in the gym and start using it again. But, you know, wedding season coming up. I know Coach and I are battling right now to make sure we fit into the suits that we've worn.
I have two weddings coming up the month of June. Good friend of ours, Kevin Mahoney, is getting married, which we're excited about. Paul's actually in that wedding.
Paul's in the wedding, yeah.
And then Coach Busaka, head coach of Curry College. So two out-of-state weddings. And one of the two, I'm going to have to use the suits that I've purchased 2 or 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And in that time, I've put on probably 10 pounds, easy 10 pounds.
Yeah, winter coat, but a little winter coat.
It's not the pounds that I would like. It's not in my chest.
Right.
And it's not in my feet. It's in my waist. Yeah. So I'm horrified right now. So this week, and I think you might have brought this up for that reason. This week I focused all my attention on dieting, so that I could have today as the day to perfect day for grilling, monsoon weather.
Absolutely beautiful outside. You'll need an umbrella, even though we talked, unless you're going to be hiking up your shoulders pretty high to guard the flames from the water. But
you know, I've been dieting all week. Turkey, and again, I have no idea how to diet, by the way.
Yeah, no, I've never dieted in my life.
I no clue. My diet consists of like eating turkey meat, egg whites, and then just not eating. Yeah. So like, I go from like going overboard where I'm smashing candy in 3 in the morning to not eating. In my head, I'm like, that's a diet.
Right.
So I have lost like 5 pounds. So, and I haven't tried on the suit. because I'm horrified that if I try it on and it doesn't buckle,
yeah, sure,
I'm gonna have to try. I'm gonna have to tell Kevin that I'm not going.
Yeah, yeah, I'll sit and catch me next time. Yeah,
I'm battling on the Peloton, as you said.
Yep.
And you know, I am gonna have, you know, 2 out of 3 burgers today.
Yeah, oh, there's not
a bag of chips of 4.
Yeah, I don't think there's any. And Callie made cookies. Callie is a contributor, Paul's girlfriend, and so
co-manager of the dog account.
Co-manager of the dog account, we think.
Yeah,
it could be just contributor, Paul, but yeah, no, I did try on a few of my suits, and the reason I realized, as I've mentioned in a few other pods, that I had to go up a waist, pant size, is I have a wedding in June that I'm in, my buddy Mike, and one of the bachelor parties I went to a couple weekends ago, and. You know, the guy measured my waist and he goes, all right, yeah, you're probably like a, you know, a 38. And I was like, oh, holy shit. Like, that's the first time I've ever been a 38. I've only been like a 34 or 36, like my whole life. And I was like, all right, I tried them on. I've never been more comfortable. I've never been more comfortable. The rest of my suits are like 30 or 36s. And I mean, I can buckle them, but like, if I start doing like the electric slide, like, I'm going to need to hang a towel like Ed Cooley in the back because they're fucking, yeah. They're going to be ripping. They're going to be ripping.
I'm the same way. So I was like a 34, like from junior year in high school.
Forever.
Until right. Like yeah. Almost 30 years old.
Yeah.
And I'm at that point too. Like I'm still wearing the 34, but my skin drapes over the saddle. So yeah. It's
great way to put it.
It's so I'm the same exact
and
way.
And the thigh areas are just screaming.
Oh, the moment I have screaming. Like a bite of an appetizer at dinner, I'm sitting down and unbuckling. Yeah,
it's like Thanksgiving.
Top
it's like it's Thanksgiving.
It's fucking bad.
Yeah, it's
it's, you know what, yeah, though?
It's hard.
It's not going to last forever. It's not going to last. That waist size does not last
forever.
That's
my thinking. That's 100. Like,
it doesn't last forever. No. I'm not saying your 38 might last forever, Coach. I'm sorry.
No. What I'm in complete agreement with you. Like, I was a 34, 36.
I'm definitely not
a 34
anymore.
I
ain't
going to be a 34, 36 anymore.
No, that's, same no, here. Yeah, I'm not a 34. I'm probably the
I'm
same
hoping way. I'm only a 38 moving forward. But realistically, I'll probably get to a 42. If I know myself, yeah. I'll get to. I have a couple kids. I'll end up at a 42, and I'll be fine.
Well, you're not giving birth, so you shouldn't worry about that.
Well, you know, well, here's the, you know, and this could be a whole other
subject. That was crazy, though. You, like, this could be a whole other.
No. What I'm saying is, you know, when you have kids, like, you're not doing as much, whatever, you're worried about them, you know, working out. And then with your pregnant wife, you should probably just get into it with them. Like, oh, yo, you want Ben and Jerry's? Okay, well, I guess what am I, just going to sit here with my thumb up my ass?
Hopefully you just have a C-section.
Yeah, well, that's, I mean, Jesus, I hope so. They can remove something, you know, but.
Why is it on that?
But yeah, so it's like it's funny. Like I'm starting to order, so I'm getting kind of into golf now. Contributor Paul and I got to buy some new golf pants and stuff. And I'm ordering 38s, and that's just I think the way it's going to be.
Tight golf pants.
No, and I don't. Yeah, it's like
Paul hasn't been here for a while, but I think he needs to start speaking into the mic.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, Paul's he's speaking.
No, outside. I'm not calling you out, but no. Speaking to the fucking.
But you are behind you. It's been a while. Technically behind the glass,
behind the
glass.
Yep. Because people want to hear you. People want to get to know
who contributor Paul is. Yeah, they haven't heard. They haven't heard from you since the second episode. They thought we canned you.
So the people have spoken, Coach. My mother has also spoken. My therapist has also spoken. And our friends at Wake Up Water have spoken. And it's time to get Brendan's ass off a pre-workout and onto something much healthier for the body and mind. Which is why our friends at Wake Up Water gave us a call. Wake Up Water is a light, refreshing drink mix that's crafted to provide natural energy anytime you need it. With roughly the same amount of caffeine as a medium cup of coffee and electrolyte levels of the leading sports drink, Wake Up Water is the perfect energy boost to keep you feeling your best all day long. Head over to drinkwakeupwater.com to see why everyone is ditching their coffees and energy drinks for this better-for-you fuel. Use code LIFEANDBBALL, that's us, for 10% off. Again, that's drinkwakeupwater.com, and be sure to use Life and B-Ball to receive 10% off your order. We talk about this a lot. We call Ryan Sheehan the David Allen Boucher of podcasting.
You better believe it.
And I don't know if you know this, but David Allen Boucher actually doesn't even show his face. So if you go to look his name up on Google.
Doesn't show up.
Nothing.
That's interesting. I didn't know that. I'm a big face guy.
Andy Dow shared me a picture the other day, and they were on a Zoom call, and David Allen Boucher's picture was a picture of a teddy bear.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that he propped up in front of the camera.
That's amazing.
I say this because this person that we're with today seems like a mythical creature. But he does have a Twitter, does have a personal account.
Yep.
He is real.
He has revealed himself.
So we have the Dirt King.
The Dirt King, Coach Adam Nelson. Funny, you know, he's coached at Suffolk for 10 years, coached at a couple stops before that. Becker Newberry was an assistant at BC for Jim O'Brien, was down at South Carolina as well, hit Holy Cross, Northeastern. I mean, an illustrious coaching career. I mean, you know, it's to be able to stop at that many places and have success at each spot is says something, you know, about you. And you know, we were talking about this off air before, but you know, you recruited me when I was in high school while you were at Suffolk. You know,
where'd you end up?
Ended up
not to make this awkward.
Ended up at Nichols. Didn't end up at Suffolk. Unfortunately, I had to say no.
And so, for the people that aren't aware, we are not on a Zoom call right now.
No, we are in person.
This is a live interview. I'm not trying to ruffle any feathers.
No, when Coach Nelson walked in, he said, "Hey, how's it going? Long time no see. Can't believe you said no."
Yeah, right. You still not looking me in the eye,
no,
right?
No, I know. You know? I don't know. You know, that was always my least favorite part of recruiting was telling people no. I hated that. But again, you know, it's interesting. Like I just have a funny story about Hoop Dirt. So, you know, everyone knows I had a corporate job when I first got out of college. And then I ended up, you know, taking the job at WPI. And the only reason I knew the job was open was because of Hoop Dirt. And I'm like, oh, what is this website? It has all these jobs. And I was so like, I had no idea about the coaching industry. You know, you see all these basketball ops jobs open for these Division I schools, and you're like, oh, I could do that. Like, I'm in operations on my corporate job. Little did I know that the job was filled 2 weeks ago, but the school has to post it. So I'm applying to all these different things. And then finally, Bartley got back to me. He's like, hey, yeah, we'll take you. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm actually going to get into this thing. And no one knew. I had no clue who the Dirt King was. You know, little did I know it's someone that, you know, I've had your phone number for over 10 years now, you know, so it's funny, but, you know, here with us today, again, like Brendan said, the Dirt King, Coach Adam Nelson.
Yeah. The Wojanowski of college basketball.
Dirt announcements,
yeah.
Job postings. I mean, every time I'm on the website, I see something new and I'm always like, anytime you post and you're like new dirt coming, I'm like, oh my God, I can't wait to, especially Division III, just because we have such a connection to it.
It doesn't even make sense sometimes because I have guys who play for certain programs and I just assume that I'm going to get that information beforehand.
Right.
And he still somehow
still has the scoop. So welcome on, Coach.
Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
Of course.
Ryan, it is nice seeing you after all these years.
It's been a long time.
Like I said before, I don't blame you. You made a great choice going to Nichols.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
You know, for those of you that had seen the gym at Suffolk, it's a tough sell. It's 6 feet or 6 floors underground.
Yeah.
And
if you don't know the building, you'd walk past it every day.
Exactly.
You'd walk right by it.
You know, what capacity is like 50. So
yeah, I think that's what it lists on like d3hoops.com. Game at Suffolk. 25 people.
Yeah. Oh, that was packed. 25. It gets tight in there with 25. So I don't blame you. It's okay.
No, it's like you're just playing a game at CM every night, which is nice.
What it is like. Yeah. And good shit. I will say, Suffolk, great shooters gym because the depth perception is awesome there.
Right. The wall's right behind the basket. Right, and that's the one thing we always did. You know, some years we were good, some years we were bad.
Right.
But we always recruited guys that just shot it.
Exactly.
Because, you know,
just let it rip.
Right. We're going to press you because it looks tight in there. And then we're going to steal the ball and go shoot a three. That's what we do.
So 10 years at Suffolk.
Yeah.
10 years as a head coach at Suffolk. And like Coach Sheen said, spent a good chunk of time in the college basketball world. What were those years like for you at Suffolk? Both good or bad? And again, this is 85% life. So if you need to talk your shit, talk your shit.
Well, we'll talk life. Life's good.
Yeah.
No, you know, and you guys know, you guys were both really good Division III players.
Like, you got one really good Division III player. You got one really hardworking guy over here. So I appreciate that, Coach.
You were both really good Division III players. But, you know, it's a grind at that level, man. You know, when I got into this, you know, I was at the Division I level and I loved it. And it's about the travel and the gear and recruiting high major players. Like, it's really cool, you know, and it's a grind. It's hard work. So when I made the decision, I was 26 years old. I was an assistant at Northeastern, and I got offered the job at Division III Becker College. And I said, you know what? 26, I want to be the boss. So it was really cool at 26 to be the boss. But it was just me and my wife. So you can go recruiting, and you can go away, and road trips don't matter. But in that time from, you know, Becker then to Newbury for 2 years, and then 10 years at Suffolk, right? 15 years as a head coach. Well, we had four kids. And having four kids as a Division III head coach, man, you miss a lot. Like a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because, you know, as you guys know, there's no live or dead period Division III. Like, if you're not out recruiting, somebody is.
We say that it's like the wild, wild west. You can just kind of go anywhere you'd like.
Exactly. It's nuts. And you feel like, you know, you're going to take a night home with your kids. But you know what? Someone else is out recruiting. That's going to get, you know, so it's so hard. You feel guilty when you're home. Yeah. So,
big time FOMO,
you know, I think that's one of the hardest things for me was not being around enough.
Yeah.
So when my oldest, who's now a junior in college, or sophomore, going to be a junior in college, when he was going to his freshman year in high school, that's when I got out, because I figured, you know what? Instead of going to see someone else's kid play Friday night, I'm going to go see my own kid play Friday night.
Right.
You know, so 4 years of high school basketball, and he was a pretty good player. I didn't miss one of his games.
Which is great.
You know, then, you know, the next one was a baseball player. Like, I haven't missed any of his games. And my daughter now plays volleyball and lacrosse, and I don't miss anything. You know, and that's if I was still coaching. You don't get that.
Especially in the spring, as you mentioned before, it's like that's the busiest time of the year. You know, coaching is coaching, but, you know, everyone says recruiting is the lifeblood of any program. Yeah. So you got to be out every weekend. You got to be out almost every night and do that whole thing. So forget it. Yeah. Catching baseball and softball games wasn't going to be on the docket for you.
Well, that's exactly it. And people don't understand, you know, say, oh, your season's over. Why aren't you around? Why aren't you around? You got to get players.
Right.
If you don't have players, you don't win games. If you don't win games, you don't have a job.
Right.
You know, and even at the Division III level, like, you got to win games. There's not many, if any, Division III programs out there that'll say, okay, you win 3-4 games a year, you'll be fine. No.
Right.
You're still getting paid.
And we've talked about that a few times, just being like, listen, you know, hey, if you're a player who gets recruited over, listen, it's because it's this coach's livelihood.
That's it.
He's got to win.
Yeah.
You know, and like you said, there's only maybe two or three programs, and I'm sure we could all list them, that like really aren't concerned about how many wins or losses you have. They're just like, hey, kids are happy, so on and so forth. You know,
exactly. And you know, and you'll hear people say, you know, the Division III level, it's about the student athlete, and, you know, you don't have scholarships, you're developing a student athlete, and you're there for them and all that stuff. And, you know, that's fine. But you still have to win. You know, they're not like separate. Like, you still have to do all that stuff.
Right.
You still have to, you know, take care of your guys and make sure they're having a great experience. But you can't lose while doing that. You got to win too. You know, so there's just so much to it. It's a lot.
Outside of wanting to spend time watching your kids play sports, was there any sort of other leading decision for you to want to step away from Suffolk?
Well, you know, we got this little thing called hoopdirt.com going.
Yeah. So
it started taking off a little bit. And needed some attention. You know, we started it in like 2009-ish. And by the time I left Suffolk, it had kind of grown to like, it needed to be managed on more of a full-time basis.
So how does something like that start? Do you mind? Like, people ask me all the time, like, how did you start Rise Above?
Yeah.
And I'm like,
you just kind of do it.
Poker, over a poker game.
No way.
Yeah, yeah. We were playing poker. You know Rich Fazzi was one of my assistants who helped recruit you, and you said no to Faz, too, and I'll make sure he knows that you said no to him, too.
I'll shoot him a text after this, too.
So we're playing poker. It's myself, Faz, and my brother-in-law. And my brother-in-law at the time was a web designer, you know, and now he still does it, but he does it in, like, New York City for, like, you know, a ton of money. But he was just starting out designing websites. So Faz says, hey, guys, I got an idea. And we're like, oh, Jesus, here we go. He's got an idea. He says, yo, coach, all you do is talk on the phone all day. You know everything that's going on. You know who's coming, who's going. Jim, you design websites. What if we start a website and you put that stuff out there? And we looked at each other like, it's actually not a bad idea. So we started. We did it. You know what? And so my brother-in-law, like I said, was a web designer, designed like this one-page blog for us. And it started out slowly, just kind of putting random stuff up there. And then it like just kind of started growing.
Yeah.
And you know what? And this is the one thing I always say about it. It started growing because our stuff is good. Like, I'm not out there making stuff up, trying to throw stuff out, hoping it sticks. Like, I tell people all the time, like, I was a coach. You know, this is what I do. I grew up in college basketball. Like, this is my life. So, like, I'm putting stuff up there that I hear, you know, and to be honest, what I try to, in a very respectful way, you know, and I tell people all the time, not getting too far ahead of ourselves here, but I tell people all the time, probably 60% of what you read on Hoop Dirt is what I have. You know, there's so much stuff that I have that I don't put up because guys ask me not to.
Right.
You know, especially this year's been nuts with the transfer portal. I can't tell you how many Division One assistants will call me and say, hey, I know you know I'm headed somewhere. Please hold it for a little bit. My head coach is going to be pissed if he hear, you know, if it gets out that I'm leaving because we're recruiting this kid. Right. You know, so it's, I just want to be respectful. I tell people all the time, I don't want to be first. I just want to be right. And I want to be respectful. So, right. You know, even with, you know, last week was, or I don't even know what week, this week was kind of nuts with some of the Division III stuff.
A lot of
right?
stuff.
You know, Colby Sawyer Open, yeah. the Hartwick Ithaca. Well, like, I knew that stuff days before, but I was asked by people, hey, let these guys tell their teams first. Hey, cool. Absolutely. Tell your team. And then I got it. You right. know, like I could have I told you, I knew exactly what time that Ithaca was dropping the press release that they hired their guy.
Yeah.
Because they planned it when he told his team, and I dropped it right between that when he was telling us. You know, so we just want to be respectful. That's all.
See, it's interesting. You're doing it the opposite of the way the national media does it, which is they'd rather be first than right.
Right.
But it's interesting, too, is, you know, because they know you're a college coach, they know you get it. They, like you just said, like they know, like, you know what it's like to maybe leave a program and have to tell your guys who you just built all these relationships or these incoming freshmen that you just recruited who just committed and sent their deposit into the school. And you're like, hey, actually, guys, I'm out of here. I just got something else. So, you know, they know that you get it.
Exactly. That's why I tell, you know, like I said, I came up in this thing. You know, like I do. I get it. I understand guys have families and teams and you know, you want to do it the right way. And, you know, sometimes now on Twitter, like I'll tease something like, hey, another New England Division III just opened. Stay tuned. I want people to know, like I got it.
Right.
It's coming.
Right.
But I'm not going to say it until.
That's a great tease, though, too, because every time I see that on Twitter, I'm like, oh, I wonder what it is. Because I'm always curious, like, especially New England Division III, like, there's so many of them around here. And, you know, fortunately, Brendan and I, as well as yourself, like, we know all these guys.
Right.
Probably
right.
personally.
Yeah.
So I'm always curious as to like who's going where, what's opening, and, you know, what's kind of going on. So another question for you is, obviously, at the beginning, you know, you're utilizing just your contacts, I'd imagine, and, you know, coaching for 15 years, I'm sure you had a lot of them, but, you know, what is it like now? I mean, are you getting emails and texts from people you haven't heard from in 20 years just saying like, hey, I have something for you, or is it, do you have a tough time also kind of being like, oh, is this true or is this false?
So, yes. So it's one of my biggest things is trying to, like, figure out what's real and what's not.
Right.
So, I've been fortunate enough, I've built up enough connections where usually I can find something. If someone like randomly sends me something, I will not publish it until I confirm it. You know, but I also have enough guys out there where I can usually confirm something.
Right.
Or like I said, I have enough guys out there that they give me a ton of stuff.
Yeah.
But the nice thing is, and really since I don't know if this is the right word, since I came out, since people know like now that I'm the Dirt King.
Right.
Like it's easier for people to reach out to me. Like even today I had a high major Division I head coach who I've never talked to.
Yeah.
He texted me because he just had a question about something. But cool. Now I got his number. He's got my number. And you know,
right. And he'll get you something down the road. That's going to be great.
That's exactly
for you.
It. It's all about building relationships. And that's why, like, you know, I have the ability now where if I do hear something that I'm not sure of, I can find somebody close to that situation, whether it's a head coach, an assistant coach, or, you know, the third assistant to the director of basketball operations somewhere. I'll find it. You know, we'll get it. But you know what? The funny thing too, though, the way the college basketball world works now is like the search firms and the agents are so big into this thing. Right. So a lot of that is kind of managing what you're getting from them too. Because like the agents will give you good stuff, but you got to make sure they're giving you the right stuff. Because sometimes they want their guy mentioned with something even though they're not involved.
Right.
So you really kind of got to balance like what's real, what's not.
Yeah. So how often are you hearing from, you know, with all those Division I searches, how often are you hearing from agents that are like, again, just using their name as a leverage to get another job?
Or, yeah, a lot. You know, a lot. You know, and you know, you hear from them both ways. A lot of guys will say, hey, my guy's involved here. Please don't mention it. And I'll say, hey, cool. No problem. I have no problem with that. But like, I know that guy owes me something now in the future.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So like, I hear a lot of that stuff. Like, hey, keep them off. You know, the search firms are harder to get stuff from, but sometimes they like stuff
something
out
leak.
There. Yeah. Sometimes they like stuff out there.
Yeah.
And again, just kind of balancing what's real and what's kind of like the disinformation. But
right.
Yeah, it's amazing the amount of people or the different types of people you talk to on a regular day.
I can't even imagine what your contact book
it's
like.
Awesome.
The names that you have in there.
But I tell people all the time, you know, the best thing about it is, you know, I could talk to a high major coach 1 minute and the next minute I'll be texting a Division III junior college assistant. And that's great because I want to hear what he's got to say.
Right.
You know, like I think even in, again, I'm losing track of days, but in today's Daily Dirt, I had like the four finalists at some junior college in Alabama that I'd never heard of.
Yeah.
But I got the four names and I confirmed it and they said, run with it. So I ran with it, you know, like, wow. And I think that's what sets Hoop Dirt apart a little bit. Like the high major stuff we have and some of those other guys will beat us on stuff and that's fine. I don't care. But it's like the kind of random small college stuff that nobody else is talking about.
And, yeah, you know, and it's, we got it. And it's ESPN's job to get that stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You're just getting it, and ESPN's probably like, Jesus, how is this guy getting all this stuff?
Yeah,
you know?
We'll beat him on some stuff. Yeah. They don't like citing their sources a lot, but that's okay. Right. I'm all right with
I know that. You're not going to give your secrets, and I'm not gonna ask for them, but I got to ask, like, on a personal level, and hopefully your wife doesn't listen to this podcast based off the question.
Oh,
but,
boy.
It's hard for me. I've been doing this, again, almost for 10 years, and I've had 1 to 10 relationships that have come and gone because of it. So what
1 to 10.
So I find it fascinating because your phone, even though it's face down right now where we are, is it on fire at all times?
Yeah.
I'm just excited. I'm more excited now because everyone's going to be calling me and Ryan for all the
Dirt. They're like, oh yeah, you talked to the Dirt King. What do you got? You got anything from him?
By the way, we're going to know everything from here on out. But yeah. I have to ask: is like a Friday night? It's time to unwind. Yeah. You're trying to watch a movie with the family. Are you getting the heat from home? Because I get it here.
Yeah, it's hard, man. It really is. Like, you know, my wife is very understanding. We've been together since I was in college, so 20 plus years.
So she gets it.
She gets it, but it's hard because, you know, like our quote-unquote busy time from the end of February till even now, a couple weeks from now, a month from now, you can't put the phone down. You don't want to miss stuff. So it's hard. You know, they are late nights. And she's understanding, but it is frustrating because it is hard to kind of sit down with me and not have me on my phone because I don't want to miss something. But she's understanding.
I don't mean enough. To call you. I just had to. That's one of the things that I think about because any coach that's listening to this podcast right now.
A coach's wife is a special.
Knows trainer. Exactly that. Yes, exactly. And knows how hard it is to separate the two.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because this is not a 9-to-5. No. This isn't a 9-to-5. Coaching is never, ever going to be a 9-to-5.
But everyone outside of the coaching industry who wants to get into it thinks it is.
Oh, it's amazing.
You know, it's all these people they talk to, like, hey, I'm really looking interested in getting into coaching. But hey, give me a call and then tell me after our call if you still want.
There's no Memorial Day weekend for you. Nothing.
Yeah.
There is no July.
Yeah. Oh, your weekends, love the beach?
Kiss them goodbye.
You're
not
good luck with that. Yeah, you're never going to be there.
But if you want, to coach for Rise Above, all that sort of stuff is great. I'm not trying to turn people away. Yeah.
Brendan will let you see the beach other than a postcard.
Christ, I'm just blowing. But I had to ask that because, well,
To be honest with you. You know, and the one thing my wife has really been understanding about is, especially when the kids were younger, like we would go away for a week every April vacation. And like April vacation, you know, is a hugely busy time in the college basketball world, right? So she was really good. Like I look back at trips like we're at the top of the CN Tower and I'm texting. You know, we're in Florida and she'll let me go to the tiki bar for a couple hours a day. Just, you know, I sit there with my laptop and the guy, you know, so she really understands. But like, it's hard. Like you can't separate it. You can't take a week off in April. And it's the same thing with coaching. Like you can't just take a week off in the spring.
Right.
So it's hard. And you know, to your point about like talking to young guys who want to get in it and think it's great, this 9-to-5. Like I talk to guys all the time and say, oh, you know.
How much do you love basketball?
Yeah, you got to be ready to roll. So I remember one of my earliest experiences with this. So after I left, I was a student at Boston College, worked with Jim O'Brien and Pat Scarry, who was the head coach at Curry at the time. Pat's now head coach at Towson. So Pat hired me. I was Pat's assistant. Pat was a 26-year-old head coach. I was a 22-year-old assistant. We bounced around New England, recruited everybody that walked, right? So it was my first experience. But I remember one of my first weeks in the office, it was like a Monday morning. He's like, hey, what'd you do last night? I was like, nah, we went to the North End for dinner. It was great, blah, blah, blah. Boom, he ripped me a new asshole. He's like, you should have been on the phone recruiting. What were you doing? You should have been talking to 50 kids. Boom, boom, boom. I was like, oh. Yeah.
While you're at Curry.
Yeah, at Curry. Division III Curry.
And you were probably getting, I don't know what you were getting paid at that time.
I was getting paid zero. I got paid $1,500 to be the assistant lacrosse coach because I knew how to stretch guys and the head coach was part-time and couldn't be there at the start of practice.
That's so funny.
So, you know, I made zero for basketball. Yeah. And he murdered me for, you know, not calling kids on a, you know, random Sunday night in September. And he was right, though. But that was a great lesson that I learned. Like, you can't not do that. So
yeah, but that's
it is. Again, as we talked about, you know, coach, when you listen, maybe if you listen back to another episode, we had this whole segment of 30 for 30, life of an unpaid college coach. Geez, and that's a perfect segment right there. Like I got ripped by my head coach for not calling kids on a Sunday night and I was getting paid a total of $0 for the job.
Zero.
You know, it's just like, just what life is. And you tell these people who want to get into it, who all have these aspirations, as I think we probably all did, to be a Division I head coach someday or something great, which is the toughest thing probably to do if you're not a former player or whatever it might be. And then you get into it. You start at the Division III level. Maybe you kind of work your way up. And then all of a sudden you kind of look at the landscape and you're like, I don't know if I'm ever going to get a head job, period. Never mind get to Division I. You know, and it's just getting tougher and tougher, I think, every year for guys to get, you know, head jobs, especially at the Division III, Division II levels now.
Oh, it's hard. It's impossible. I mean, it's such a hard business, and you really have to be at the in the right place at the right time and know the right people.
Right.
And that's what it's all about. But, you know, it's funny how many young guys will hit me. But, you know, my phone number's all over the website. Anyone can text me. You can DM me on Twitter. I respond to everybody.
Right.
And it's amazing. Every year, it's kind of like this cycle of like new guys who are, hey, coach, I'm just graduating. I was a player here. I was a manager here. Blah, blah, boom. What do you think? Should I apply for this GA spot at Arkansas? Or, you know, I don't want these D3 things. Like, oh, hold on. You know, it's kind of talking them through like, hold on. This is the reality here, fellas. Like, this isn't easy. This isn't. You got to be ready to work.
Yeah.
You got to be ready to grind.
Yeah.
And like, it's amazing.
I wouldn't know, but maybe you do. Like, what's the percent? Like, what's the percentile of like guys that go into it as an assistant, unpaid or paid, that again, all go into, by the way, we got to talk about this.
Yeah.
So this little moaning sound that you're hearing in the background,
a little pitter-patter.
Coach Sheehan brought his hot dog to
Miss Amelia, cover art. You guys can see, take a look at what she looks like. That is her actual size.
So again,
that
is
drawn to size.
This is again, another week where I'm going to have to take a picture of what's going on here.
Take a seat.
So Coach Sheehan did us the favor of taking off this,
harness has got a little
nice.
Bit of a
rattle. It was good. I was ready to flip the table, but I'm just glad you did that for us.
She's a good girl, but this is her first time at Brendan's house, so she's sniffing everything and wants to see what's behind every door. We've mentioned previously, there's 70 doors in Brendan's apartment.
This is a fun house.
She wants to see what is going on.
Yeah, let her go into the bedroom door. See what's behind that door. Door number three. Yeah, Ollie's in there benching
the
right now.
Yeah, he's waiting for her too.
So anyways, I lost track of what I was saying, but oh yes. So again, in your opinion, and maybe you do know this already. So what would you say that a percentage? And again, I'm not trying to. We're gonna have a lot of assistant coaches listening to this podcast, but they're realistic. They understand what the deal is today, and how much of a grind it is. It's the reason why Coach and I are here behind mics. But like, how hard we hear it all the time. Like it's like less than 4% for high school athletes trying to play at the college level. Like I gotta assume it is. It's definitely gotta be less. Right. For a guy who's an aspiring head coach one day at whatever level,
it's ridiculously low. It's absurd. And before, you know, we were talking before we started. I mean, I've got a couple of former assistants of mine who are still beating the bushes as Division III assistants that haven't gotten that opportunity yet. And it's almost like, how long do you do this for? You know, like how long do you stay? You know, you move up the ranks as an assistant. You're making $8,000 this year as an assistant.
Yeah.
Like, how long do you keep doing that for before you?
And how long can you survive doing it?
Right. Well, that's exactly it. But you know what? And it's funny. You know, I hear stories all the time of you know, 40-year-old guys who work, you know, part-time NAIA jobs as a head coach because they love it and it's what they do. But like, what are you doing to yourself, man? Like, you're 40. You're going to be retiring in 20 years. You might want to start thinking like, how? I don't know. It's hard.
And don't get me wrong. Like, if a lot of these guys are in it because they love it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Just like the rest of us. I don't know if that falls on like these institutions that like aren't funding the athletic departments enough, because it's obviously like at the end of the day, and again, if you want to talk about it, it's up to you, but like being in athletic director's seats, there's only so much you can do. There's only so much you can say based off of like how much you could be paying a coach, but they're obviously super underpaid, right? Like everywhere outside of the Division I level, which obviously like, you know, they have money out the ass.
Right.
But like at the division, even Division II, I would say.
Yeah, I think so. You know, select schools at each level. You know, there's some Division III jobs that are some really, really good jobs.
As paid, full paid assistants.
Yeah. Oh, full paid. Oh.
I'm talking about assistants.
I mean, I think, you know, you also look at the level of, you know, talking about Division III, look at the level. Like those NESCAC jobs are great. You know, the head coaches are making great money. They're comfortable. They're fine. And they've all got full-time assistants. So it's a little bit different at that level. Like, you know, you could get a, you know, NESCAC head job and be fine for your life. But then you kind of move down. I mean, look at some of those schools in the GNAC and the CCC. Like,
yeah, it's a
you
grind.
Know, you got to stick and move, man. Like that. And that was one of my things, too. You know, I was at Suffolk for 10 years. Like, I couldn't see. You can't be there for 20 years. You know, and you're not going anywhere, you know, with the mediocre success we had at best, not going anywhere. So, you know, there's, you gotta have that.
And I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer when I talk about this shit. I almost just like would love for people that I know that are in this industry that put so much time and effort into their job that just could be putting that time and effort into something else, in my opinion, that could be related to hoop still and could be like just making so much more money and could be just having so much more time for themselves.
Because I'll tell you, if you can coach basketball and you can recruit, you're going to be great at sales.
Oh, yeah.
You can sell anything. Some of these schools, you work at a school and you're selling that school and kids end up going there. Yeah. You look at some of these schools, you're like, you could sell ice to an Eskimo.
I say all the time, you know, I spent 3 years as a head coach at Becker, right? We brought in two rookies of the year in my 3 years there. At Newberry in 2 years, we brought in a rookie of the year in New England.
Yeah.
Like, hey, we're getting guys at these place. You know, I'm making no money.
Right.
Yeah, I could probably go make a little bit in sales.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
But again, to that a little bit is you got to listen to what guys tell you a little bit. And I fell into that trap where I didn't. You know, so like I said, I came from Boston College. So Paul Biancardi was an assistant at BC when I was
there.
So Coach Biancardi and I have known each other a long time. And I remember when I was getting ready to get out, I told him I was going to be a coach. And we had talked about all these things. And he kept telling me, don't do it. Don't do it. You want to have a family? Don't do it. You want to make money? Don't do it. So he was great with me. He actually took me to lunch with a bigwig with the Boston Celtics, who offered me an internship on the spot. So I went back to the office and I was like, I think I'm going to go to Curry and be an assistant with Skerry. He's like, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what, you know, but and I was like, no, it's what I want to do. Yeah. But like, that's one of those things I always kind of look back in hindsight. I was like, I might should have wanted to listen to him, you know?
Yeah, but hoop dirt might not have been a thing.
Right? Well, exactly. Right. You don't know. You know, well, you never know. Maybe. But well, probably, I don't know. Maybe not.
Maybe
but
with NBA stuff.
There you go. Would have been on ESPN instead of just pretending I am, right? Yeah. You know, but then, but little things too. Like I remember, you know, when I was at Northeastern and thinking about taking the job at Becker, Ken Dempsey, who's now at UNH, was an assistant at Northeastern. I remember him telling me like, hey, you're going to leave the Division I level. You're not getting back. And I'm 26 years old. I'm like, if I be a head coach at 26, I'll get back here.
Right.
Nope. Didn't get back. You know, so it's a hard grind, but you got to listen. You really got to listen to guys. I think that's part of it is guys have to have like an understanding. It's hard. It's hard to tell a 22-year-old.
Yeah. Well, one thing I'll say is, you know, I'm sure you guys have been to the Final Four conventions, a million times. And, you know, I went 3 or 4 times when I was with WPI. And every year I went, there were more assistants there.
Yeah.
And there were more people getting into it. It's just like, listen, I love basketball as much as the next guy. And, you know, and I still do. It's a lot, man. It's just a lot. And I think, like, you know, you have to truly love it and you have to make the sacrifices that you want to make. Like, you're probably not going to have a girlfriend.
Nope.
You know, and you're probably not going to get married at a, you know, an eight. Like, look at these Division I coaches. They're all, you know, like Tom Izzo just had his first kid. And Tom Izzo's like 55 years old.
No way. Just had his first?
Yeah, yeah.
See, that's my biggest fear in life.
Right? Like,
biggest
fear in life. He's 50-something years old. Like,
yeah, well, you know, it's hard. And you got, you know, my wife and I were in that same situation where I was, you know, we had our first when I was, I don't remember, I was 27 or so. But I was, you know, I was the head coach at Becker making crap part-time money. I was also the golf coach. I was teaching two like phys ed classes.
Yeah.
And we were at the point like, well, if we wait till I make money, we may never have kids. So, well, all right, let's just have a kid and we'll figure it out. Yeah. You know, but it's like, but it's hard because, you know, I was coaching at Becker and I'd been coaching at Holy Cross before that, but we were still living in Quincy.
Yeah.
Because we couldn't move out there because she had a full-time job teaching in Boston. So we're not going
to
move out there.
Not going to move out to Worcester.
So, So I'm commuting, you know, an hour plus each day. You know, I was the head coach at Becker. I don't even know what I was making. It wasn't a lot, but I was day. Spending as much in gas as I was making each day. So it's like, you know, between
and then
gas
plus the recruiting
and
travel.
Exactly. And there's no recruiting budget at that level. So, it's hard, man. Like, and a lot of the young guys don't understand that.
Mentioning the phys ed thing is funny. I was a phys ed teacher as well, and I made sure to put on my resume
that
for any job moving
wild.
Forward. Yeah. I was a professor of
you
physical
were,
education.
There you go.
Ed teacher.
Professor of
you
physical
haven't
education.
Worked out in 3 years. I was but you a were a physical educational
I taught,
teacher.
You know what I taught?
What?
Basketball. It was basketball class. So kids at WPI were, you had to take, unless you were a varsity athlete, you had to take a physical education class, and you could choose what, you know, badminton, softball, baseball.
Yeah.
And then I taught the professor of physical education,
this
basketball,
like Hoplo when he was
Coach
on.
Ian.
He was just saying they just made up titles for him when he was at.
Yeah, I was a professor NBA. Of physical education.
Yeah.
I had the kids call me Doc.
Doc.
Dr. Sheehan.
Like Doc Brown.
Yeah. So I just wanted to ask again, like in terms of the hoop dirt stuff, like, where do you kind of see it going? I mean, obviously, it's huge now. You have, you know, 50,000 followers on Twitter. Instagram is big. Even your personal account, you have a number of followers now, too, since you've revealed yourself. You know, it's like, how big do you think it's going to grow? I mean, have you had, has ESPN come to you and been like, hey, listen, we'd like to purchase your services? Or, you know, we kind of mentioned off air, you know, we've had some business deals and things like that going on. Like, can you reveal any of that stuff as well?
No, absolutely. You know, I mean, you know, we don't do it for free, you know.
Yeah, I hope not. No, you wait too. You do too much work.
So, I mean, the money's good, you know, and we've got a lot of paid sponsors. We're involved in a lot of things. Part of it right now, like this time of year, we average about 3 million page views per month. So that's a lot. Advertisers like to see that number. So we've done some other things with the way we advertise and charge for advertising and charge for jobs. So we're growing still. I think, you know, we always want to stay current, though. Like, we don't want to be stagnant. I don't want someone else to come do this. So we're going to start adding some more video stuff, you know, maybe some podcast stuff. Who knows? Yeah. But I think just kind of staying current with what's going on, you know, being a little bit more responsive on social media and kind of, you know, doing some stuff that's not directly related to like news, jobs and dirt, you know, just keep the name relevant. We launched it about 6 years ago was our Coach of the Week program. So every week during the season, you know, we name a Division I, II, III NAIA junior college head coach. So, you know, so we honor five guys. It's a way for us to generate content. Right. My oldest son actually writes that for us now.
Yeah, and every coach that always gets retweeted by the school, the coach that gets it.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, so that's kind of our quiet time during the basketball season, right? But at least it keeps us relevant. We've got great sponsors that pay for it. You know, my son might want to be in this business somehow, some way. I don't know, but he writes it. So he gets to, you know, meet some people and get his name out there.
That's cool.
So just kind of staying, you know, relevant with that stuff.
Like, where are these guys? Like, so I think my fiance watches like Bravo, these shows all the time. And I always say like, oh, it's gossip shit. But like, are people like dying to tell you shit? Like, are they dying to be like, oh my God, I have this news?
What's been the evolution of that from like you starting it and then having to do kind of everything yourself to now, you know, having people being like, I can't wait. Oh my God, I just got this piece of information that you've probably had for 3 days, but I want to share it with you.
Yeah, it's weird. It's amazing how much stuff people want to share. It's nuts.
Yeah, like, there's no longer, between you and I. Yeah. That shit doesn't exist anymore.
No, it doesn't exist anymore. Yeah.
Oh, it's crazy. So, yeah, like when I first started, you know, I was, you know, calling people, blah, 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 you know, trying to get the information. And now, like, even as we're sitting here, like, I'm getting stuff, people are reaching out. Hey, I heard this. And a lot of it, like, hey, thanks. Heard that. I'm going to get it up tomorrow anyway. Boom, boom, boom. You know, but it's amazing the amount of people that just reach out. And
so when they reach out, are they hoping that they'll get something in return? Like, hey, I'm giving you this information. Like, what do you got for me?
No, they just like to talk. Hey, I got this. Then we text for a while and people like to text. And like, you know, a lot of people got my number and they'll say, hey, just checking in. And you know, it's cool. And then, like I said, I like to talk. I mean,
it's fantastic for you.
Well, that's why I said, you know, like this is the only business I've ever known is college basketball. Yeah. Right. And I'm not coaching now, but I talk to, you know, thousands of coaches every year from all over the country at every different level. So for me, it's cool. You know, like I have, you know, the most random guys that'll text me that now for years I've been texting with. I have so many guys that I've never met, never seen, wouldn't know what they look like, but we probably text every day.
It's crazy.
Like, it's nuts.
Yeah, that's wild.
You've got the regulars, you got the first timers, the one timers. It's amazing. But it's really cool.
Hey, Coach Nelson, first time, long time. You know?
Well, people say all the time, hey, this is the first time I actually have something. I wanted to get it to you. You know, hey, cool, thanks, I appreciate it. Here's my, you know, because a lot of people like DM me now, but I'll say, hey, no problem. Here's my cell. If you got anything else, feel free to text me.
Right. So people must like think that if they're given some dirt on their ends, that in like when they go back to you later on, if they needed help or needed something, like it's got to be something like that, right?
Yeah,
like,
well, people ask me all the time, you know. And you're right, though. I think a lot of people will come back at some other time and say, hey, you know, I just applied for this. What do you hear? Do you hear something? That's cool. And I'm fine with that. I'll tell anybody what I'll hear. You know, like, and it's fine. But that's kind of what I like. And, and it's you know, it's what I tell young coaches to do in the real world. Like, don't, you know, hey, you know, a job just opened up at BU. I'm going to email Joe Jones because I worked camp for him 4 years ago. Yeah. But it's the first time you just talked. No, no, no. You got to keep those relationships fresh.
Right.
Like, all the guys, don't just hit them when you need something.
Exactly.
Like, you know, hit them when...
They read right through that stuff.
Exactly. And it's the same, like I would tell my assistant coaches in recruiting. Don't just go to a high school coach when he has a player. Talk to him every year. Right. You build that relationship, talk to him every year. So right. that one in 3, 4, 5 years when he has a player, you're his guy. He knows you.
Right.
Same thing with coaching. You know, don't just go to a guy every now and then when you need something. You know, so that's why I have a lot of guys that'll text me all the time. And then occasionally, hey, just stay in touch. What's going on? But why? They don't need anything until they do. And that's fine. Like, I appreciate them staying in touch.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I like talking to them. And it's fun for me. You know, but you do get the guys, you know, occasionally like, hey, I applied for this. Who are the others? I'm not going to tell you. I don't know you. Like, you know, say hi. Be friendly.
Right, yeah,
know?
Exactly.
Like,
hey,
coach, how are you? Like, that's all.
Yeah, fake it at least.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, coach, how's it going? How's Yo, we always talk about this.
We talked about
You know, hey, coach, how's the family?
Right, yeah,
you
right.
know, how's everything right. going? It's like, you couldn't care less.
No.
As soon as we
we've talked about this. You know? We talked about this. Hey, I have to tell this quick story, and then let's get back to everything we're talking about. So I had a coach, a head coach in New England. I won't say the name. But college coaches will call me about recruiting our guys. Yeah. And very similar to what we were just talking about, right? Most of them will fake it till they make it, right? And if they don't need anything within that specific season, I won't hear from them. And it's to the point where sometimes I won't hear from them and then I'll walk by them and they won't even acknowledge that I'm alive. So I'm like, go fuck yourself, right? Yeah. But anyways, I had this one coach reach out to me about a specific player. We had conversation on the phone for, it had to have been like a half hour, right? And then he sends me a text. It's got to be no more than a week later, sends me a text. He says, hey, can you tell me about this player, this other player you got? And I didn't recognize the name. And I'm like, I'm not sure who this is. I was like, coach, I'm not sure who this is. And he sends me a picture message of the kid. The problem is that this player had a jersey that was not our program's jersey, okay? So I had a head college coach. Again, stay with me here, folks. Head college coach, phone call for a half hour, recruiting a specific player for our program. 1 week later, forgot what program I coached for and directed for. So I responded back to this guy, and he was a pretty decent name, right? Pretty decent name.
People definitely know who he is.
He would definitely know who he is. And I said, hey, coach, let me straight up with you. I'm like, you're a nice guy. I was like, but I'm not going to lie to you. I was like, this is the second time you've... Second time you've gotten me mixed up with this other person. I'm really close to just deleting your phone number from my phone. And like, hey, crickets. He didn't know what to say. And if he sends me a text after he hears this, hey, just listen. I get no hard feelings at this point, but this story needed to be told. And again, I won't drop your name.
Yeah.
But like...
Just clean it up.
I had to tell it because I'm hearing you talk about like, you know, again, it feels good when people are actually taking the time. Yeah. To get to like, hey, how you doing? But then there's those people that I'm like, hey, man, like you just spent a half hour of your time and my time pretend like. So what I'm telling you about me in my life or what's going on? Are you just fucking looking at the ceiling? Like what is going on? Yeah. Right? I don't know. I just like the whole fake it till you make it type stuff in this industry bothers me a little bit. Probably because now I'm removed. And because I'm a straight shooter. I'm like, I like the guys who call me. Yeah. Hey, B, how you been? Great. Hey, what do you got? Can you tell me about this kid? You know what I mean? Yeah. Then I'll be like, oh, cool. And then we'll finish that conversation
And
later.
You know what they're calling for.
Right.
It's like, okay, good, done. All right, talk to you in a couple weeks.
Right.
See you this weekend at the tournament. You know, whatever it is, it's just like, that's such a ridiculous story.
Right. You got to have those relationships. I mean, that's important. You really do. And that's, you know. They have to be meaningful, but you know, you have to show that you actually really do care.
Right.
Because guys are going to send a player to you. You know, it's one of the things you've worked with a guy for so long. You want to make sure you're sending him to the right place, you know, and you're not going to send a guy.
Well, especially like you said, with all the transfer stuff now, it's just bananas. Man, it's kind of crazy. Now, do you, and maybe I missed this, do you keep track of that stuff? I know like, you know, there's like 15 websites now that like keep track of the 7,000 kids in the transfer portal. No,
I can't do it. I can't. Yeah. It's nuts. We can't do it. You know, I think we are staying with what we are good at.
Yeah,
and that is coaching and who's going where.
Right.
But it's nuts, this transfer portal. And like I said, I have coaches call me all the time now saying, don't say that I'm going somewhere because we're recruiting these three kids out of the portal and my head coach doesn't want it out there.
Like, yeah.
It's nuts how aware everybody is about this portal. It's nuts.
You ever get the itch to get back into it? Talking to all these guys, have you been offered like a job, you know, like one of these like special assistant to the director of ops, like we were talking about, like any, have you been offered anything? Do you ever get the itch to kind of get back into it just because you're talking to all these guys
so often? You put up a post maybe like a month ago that there was a really out of this world position that was that opened up. Do you remember what it was? It was almost like a branding. Like a team
Yeah.
Oh, there was one of these. Yeah, it was DePaul like or Duquesne, something like
that. It was
Duquesne.
Yeah, right, it was Duquesne. Yeah. You got it. Oh yeah, it's not some of these positions that have been created, like these, you know, social media. Well, especially with this name, image, likeness thing coming, where guys are gonna be able to get paid. There's so much that's just being added. Do I have the itch? Yeah, I always have the itch.
Yeah.
But you know, like I said, my oldest is a junior. We've got three others, and my youngest is 10. So I'm not going anywhere. But you know, I do have guys. So. You know, one of the funny thing is, you know, like you said, how many guys kind of stay in it? Do you get whatever? Like the guys that I worked with, like the Division III level, they're pretty much all out. Nobody's coaching anymore.
Yeah.
But the guys I was with at the Division I level, they're all still in.
They're in it.
You know? Yeah, so, every year, occasionally here and there, I'll get the, hey, what are you doing? I got this. I got that. No.
Thanks, but no thanks.
You know, and especially... You know, after being a head coach for 15 years, no matter what level you go back to, it's hard not to be the boss, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Who knows? One of these days, I'll probably say yes.
Yeah.
But I don't know. But you know what? To be honest, like then I don't know what it does to hoop dirt. So one of the things when I stopped coaching and kind of let people know who I was, because it just made my life easier. Like I didn't, when I was out on the road recruiting, I didn't want people to know who I was because I'm talking to guys all the time.
Right.
And I don't want them to think like, I don't know, like it just... I didn't want it, but since I, you know, since now people know who I am and I'm not on the road recruiting, it's just easier for me. It's easier for me to talk to guys.
Yeah, and you get more information that way. They feel more confident doing it.
Exactly. So I don't know. Like, you know, if I get back, it probably means hoop dirt goes away. And I don't think we're ready for that.
No one wants it.
No, I mean, again, like Ryan said, 50,000 followers on Twitter. It's where everyone gets their news. Yeah. Everyone. And again,
I mean, if people are looking for a position, I would say that 99% of the time they're going to Hoop Dirt. They're not going to like the school website and finding the job. It's they're going to Hoop Dirt and you post the link and that's how they're getting.
Well, it's funny you say that. So, you know, we really kind of made our bones early on with the news. People like reading the news, but really the rumors, right? And the rumors are the big stuff and what they like having. But now the jobs have really kind of taken off.
Yeah.
Where like in the old days, we would just kind of search around, find whatever jobs we could find, post them.
Right.
Now it's amazing how many schools reach out to us and we charge.
Really?
We charge to put jobs up. We had like three Division I's today reach out about getting
like positions that are opening up.
Exactly. Like they're about to get posted, so they want to pay before we can post them. Like there's one up there today, Cleveland State Special Assistant to the Head Coach.
I saw that.
They reached out, in the old days, that was like a cool, unique one we would have found.
But right.
They reached out and said, can you post this? Yeah, absolutely.
Why do you think they do that? Just to get more eyes on it?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And it's
more
funny.
Qualified candidates.
Well,
right?
There's a couple things. You know, a lot of the Division I administrative jobs are already taken. You know, they're posting because it's a mandatory
posting. Right,
because they have
to. Yeah.
And some guys will put it up because they need to get a bunch of applications. And they'll tell us, they'll call us like 2 hours later and say, hey, thanks, we just got 200.
Yeah, pull it.
Shut it down.
Yeah, pull it now. Yeah.
But there's schools like Cleveland State, to be honest with you, because I know those guys. You know, they're actually looking for a guy.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why, people always ask me like, oh, well, you put these jobs up and they're already taken. I'm like, no, they're really not. Like some are, but you have to do your research.
Right.
You know, if you look at the jobs we put up, right? Division III head coaches, Division II assistants, apply for those. Those, go get them. Go get them. Division I assistants, Division I head coaches. I love putting those up. Just great clickbait. Alums like to look at that. That's great clickbait. Division I assistant, same thing. You're not getting that job.
Right.
But some of these ops ones, right? So some of them are legitimately open. Some of them, someone probably already got, but you got to figure out where that guy came from. Who just got it?
Yeah.
That's what we tell
reach
guys.
Out
do
before.
Your homework. Like, say Pitt advertises a director of basketball operations. Great. That one's gone. But you need to find out who got that and start working back that way.
Exactly.
Because it might have been someone that got bumped up, might have been someone from somewhere else, but you got to work backwards.
Exactly.
And that's what we tell guys. But the other thing I tell guys all the time, don't just assume. Text me. I'll tell you.
Yeah.
You know, people see this Cleveland State thing and say it's done. Text me. I'll tell you it's not.
Right.
I have no problem with that. So we just try to, again, the overall, I'm knocking this thing here. The overall thing here is, we got into it. Like, I want to help coaches. That's what I did. I was an unpaid assistant. I made nothing. And I finally, I got some good jobs, some bad jobs, whatever. But I want to help coaches because I've been there and done that. So if you have a question about a job, call me. Text me. DM me.
Right.
I'll tell you to the best of my knowledge, but you got to put in a little work too.
Yeah. Again, don't just say, hey, what the heck's going on here? Be like, hey, how's it going? Good.
Exactly. Hey, I saw this position. Do you think they're bumping this guy up or what do you think? You got to put in a little work here. That's all.
Again, So you got.
You can hear the crinkling now.
You got to see this. I already took a picture. He's Sheehan's dog is a hot dog, and it's chewing on a hot dog.
Hot dog toy. It's just, cannibalism. You can't make this. Its finest.
You can't make you can't this make, up. You just can't make this up.
I just took a picture too. I told my wife I was coming out to hang out with you guys. Yeah, on the podcast.
Oh, this is
now I have a hot dog dog eating a hot dog. I don't even know what this is now, but
take that outside, will you?
Has anybody approached you yet about taking Hoop Dirt to that next level? That
no one big, no one like that. But every year we'll get a couple people that'll reach out and say they want to buy us, they want to invest, they want to part, and that's. That won't happen. Mm. You know, we're not interested, not mm-hmm. interested in selling a piece or selling, if ESPN comes knocking, we'd obviously listen. But yeah, like every year someone will say, hey, I'll give you X for 50%. I'm not doing that. Why? Yeah. Because honestly, so I am a Shark Tank fan. Absolutely love Shark Tank. I don't know if you watch that show.
Oh, we're gonna have somebody on that was very very soon that was on Shark Tank.
Oh, I that's awesome. I gotta meet that person. So do like, I live and die Shark Tank. Absolutely love it. Like Mark Cuban's my idol.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
love him. Right. So the one thing I've learned, like with Hoop Dirt and people coming to say, well, I want to buy it. I want to. But this right. So say you know someone is stupid enough to buy Hoop Dirt, right? And then right after the deal, I walk out the door and get hit by a bus. Hoop Dirt's gone. That's 100%. It. That's a wrap. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So that's why we're not really like sellable, investable, you know, because
it is you.
Right. You know, like the news and the jobs, anybody can do that.
Right.
But the stuff, again, as we sit here, I mean, it's nuts. You know, like the stuff that we're getting.
Yeah.
I get hit by a bus. You just threw away your $1.5 million because that's what we'd ask.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
You know,
right.
So
right.
That, that's kind of what I learned from watching Shark Tank. I love it. And you know, I have people all the time will say like, oh, you know, a couple years ago, one of these, you know, they launched like a sports type Shark Tank where you go, you show your basketball product and you got all these investors.
Yeah.
We're not investable. Like we're not because, you know, what happens if, like I said, I go get hit by a bus?
Well, if the operation falls apart, everything falls apart.
I mean, it is like Woj, right? Like if Woj isn't there tomorrow, who's that next person who gets that information? I don't know. There probably is somebody, but it's not going to be him.
Right, exactly. And it's not going to be the same. You know, same thing with like Adam Schefter. You know, like, hey, Schefty's got all that stuff. But if Schefty goes, like, yeah, they got other guys, but it's not the same.
No. Yeah.
It's
well, really and that's not. Why you've kind of positioned yourself in a really good spot because, like, you know, it's like, all right, who gets the news now in the NBA? It's Woj or the guy Shams, right?
Yep.
You know, there's no other Hoop Dirk. There's no other Dirk King for, like, the stuff that you're kind of finding.
Yeah, no, you know, like I said, at the high major level, you got those guys like Goodman and Ross. Yeah. And whatever. You know right, they don't like to cite sources, so I don't like to mention the names. I should have done that. But, you know, but you know, to be honest, like, if it's not high major, like, they don't give a shit.
Right.
So I put up the odds for the Arkansas Pine Bluff job, right? Division I job in the MEAC. I know who the two finalists are. I actually know who got it. But you talk, they don't care. They don't care, right? It's still a Division I job. Right. So, like, yeah, I think, you know, you got a couple guys at the high major level that want to break stuff and be in the know and this and that. But, you know, even some of those low major jobs, sorry, no one likes to be called a low major. Some of those mid major jobs.
Yeah.
No one gives a shit about
You know Goodman at all? Because he's a local guy. You know him at all?
You know, we'll yell at each other on Twitter back and forth here and there, you know, like when he doesn't cite something.
And you say, hey, I know where you got that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, hey, interesting source. Yeah, well, you know, whatever. Yeah. But, you know, sources say that, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, great. You know, then I'll screenshot what I put up six hours earlier. But that's, you know, especially the Division I stuff. Like the guy Rothstein from CBS and Goodman, a lot of those, they'll have some stuff before we do. No problem. So I'll put up, hey, according to John Rothstein, and I'll hyperlink his article.
Right.
I don't care. What do you care? Exactly. We had it. Because to be honest, like the average, like, college coach basketball guy is reading our site. So they're going to find it. I don't care if you said it. You know, I'll cite you. But those guys don't like citing us, but that's fine.
Yeah. Whatever. Well, because, again, it's the credit.
Yeah.
They want it first, whether it's right or not.
Exactly.
You know?
And so right. I don't care if we're first. Exactly. I just want to be right. Like, it's amazing how much stuff will hold. Like, as I told you, like I said, I know who's going to be the next head coach at Arkansas Pine Bluff.
Yeah.
I can't say it yet. And I'm not going to because I owe it to people. You know, it was like 3 or 4 years ago in the A-Sun tournament. I forget who it was. You know, Coach Goodman reported that the coach was getting fired after the game. He reported that at halftime of the game. Like, that's bullshit. And then people, you know, like, you don't do that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, parents are reading that. Exactly. You know, like, people are seeing that. Right. And that's,
and I say all the time, like, guys that didn't come up in the game, they just don't get it. Exactly. Like, it is, and you've been in it, and you know, you've been in it. It's a family. Like, it is one it big really fraternity, is. And you got to look out for guys. And to be honest, that's where you know, I do try to be respectful. And that's where I think I've made a lot of friends, where I will get good stuff, because I'll look out for somebody and they'll say, hey, man, hey, remember when you did that for me? Well, here's this, you know, or, you know what?
Right.
Or, you know, I'll get texts from guys. Hey, my buddy said, I can trust you. Here's what's going on. You can't say anything. Hey, no problem. Yeah. I got you. Thanks, man. Yeah. You know, so I don't know. It's about that relationship building. But from a guy that's been there, like I've been there, I've lived it, you know, and some of these other guys that haven't, like, I don't know.
Right.
Yeah, it's a different animal.
Yeah,
it's
not, different perspective on everything. Yeah. They just don't know.
Exactly. But again, you know what? To their credit, I don't want to say credit, I don't want to give them credit, but to their whatever, like, they're getting paid, like, they have to produce, like, they have to break stories, right?
Right.
Like, if Adam Schefter doesn't break stories,
what is he? Well, job. What's he there for?
Yeah. Right, exactly, right. He doesn't have a job, so you got to do it. So, like, you know, I get it. You know, it's frustrating because I don't have to. And if I get one, I like to.
Yeah,
it's
of course.
Hey, I like having something, which, like I said, well, I'll tweet some teasers here and there. But
right.
Whatever. I don't lose sleep. Well, maybe I lose sleep.
Yeah.
I don't lose too much sleep over it.
Right.
I'm excited. I'm more excited because now people are going to be hitting us up all the time.
Right. Right.
What the next job.
Hey, have you talked to Coach Nelson today? What's he got going on? Yeah.
And you can hit me up. And for the people that I really like, I'll give you some of the dirt. But I'm just more excited about that. Like our listeners and our follow count.
And I'm just going to read the tweets from the Hoop Dirt.
I kind of want to drop our personal Instagrams now because we're just going to have so many people that want to follow us.
I'm just going to be whatever was just tweeted. Oh, yeah. Did you guys see this? You hear this yet?
We've known that shit for a while now. Yeah. Okay, get with it. If you again, for any of our listeners who don't already follow this account, it's at HoopDirt on Twitter, and online it's hoopdirt.com. How long have you had this? You've had this in 2019. This is bullshit. Right?
Yeah, already 3,000.
So he's had it for two years. So I'm also going to drop. I'm also going to drop Adam's.
I got like 10,000.
Yeah, so even more. Yeah. Brendan and I. It's so funny. Brendan and I were talking this week. We're like, oh man, we have like 1,100 and 1,300 followers. We thought we were
big time. Know,
we were the big dog. We thought we were the big dogs.
And see, he's doing that nice thing again.
Yeah, that's pretty. That's good. Really, hey, how's your family?
You know? Yeah, he's doing that nicely. All
right.
So I'll draw. I'll drop.
You guys got a way to go, but you'll get there, man. You guys are good. You'll get it.
I'll drop. So since we're talking about it, I'll also drop his personal account. So it's at HD_DirtKing. And again, that's Adam Nelson, HoopDirt.com. 9,561 personal follows. He's had it since 2019. I've had my personal account since, got to be at least 2011. Yeah. And I got 1,300. It's fucking bullshit. But this has been awesome. I appreciate you coming on. And I know we're taking you away from your family right now.
It's like you're out recruiting right now.
This is the fun stuff. No,
yeah.
I appreciate you guys are great. Thank you for having
Thank
me.
You.
This is a blast. I love doing this.
Looking to sell your home south of Boston? Well, look no further than the real estate team at RE/MAX Platinum. This team is here to help with all your real estate needs. For more info, please visit www.sellingsouthofboston.com and be sure to ask about their 30-day guarantee. And if you're ever driving on Route 3 South, take a good glance up top. You'll see our guy, Rich Rossi of the RE/MAX Platinum team, one of the best in the business. Don't believe us? Go give him a call for yourself. Calling all personal trainers. Commercial space for gym use is rare to find in any setting. Commercial gym space for rent broken down into blocks of time is basically unheard of. By using Shed, you'll have access to a reliable training studio with predictable costs and flexible scheduling. With locations in South Boston and the Back Bay, Shed provides a fully built-out gym space in prime locations. Take advantage of their low hourly rates, gain access to their online booking platform, and then pick a location to get to training. For more information on how to get started with Shed, visit shedpt.com. Again, that's shedpt.com.